Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Happy New Year, officially, right? I mean, we were on last week, but they were actually 2016 shows filling in for us, and we got to... I don't know about you, but in my case, it's a little bit caught up after the holidays, huh? It was just kind of a...
Well, yeah, the day jobs, you come back from the break and, I was a little bit blasted last week, when I arrived back at the office. And so I kind of appreciated the hiatus last week, but glad to hit it again this week.
Well, one thing that's interesting from last week is I noticed people were listening to the old shows. So we'll try to pepper what we do with those once in a while. I still want us to hit three shows a week, three new ones, but We'll go ahead and throw in some reruns here and there.
We can go to a 5-day a week schedule if you want to, Phil, and throw in two old shows in with the three new ones. We'll talk about it.
Let's try it. You know what? We'll try it a couple times, see how it likes us, see how you all like it, and let us know. We're here for you, basically. That's what we do. But hey, you know what? Speaking of having a lot of material, our subject today, we're kicking off the new year with one more glance back, because I really feel like we had to spend some time on this piece. It's our show is called How the World Got Better in 2016, but we're really just taking straight from a Peter Diamandis piece called 10 Tech Trends That Made the World Better in 2016. And Stephen, we were talking before the show. What would you say we're going to do here tonight? Tip of the iceberg? Tip of the iceberg?
Yeah.
How deep are we going to get?
I highly recommend to our audience, if you find this stuff interesting, go find the article. It's much more than we can cover. It's an embarrassment of riches as far as our show prep goes. We can't cover it. So we'll just do our best to hit the highlights. And if you find it interesting, seek out the article. It's great. 10 trends that made the world better in 2016.
If you like the kind of stuff we talk about on the show, read this piece. And also just subscribe to Peter Diamandis. I get email updates from him, and they're always worth it. Okay, they're just it's awesome stuff. And this was one. So here we go. 10 tech trends that made the world better in 2016. Trend number one, we are hyper connecting the world. Interesting place to start, and interesting set of examples that Diamandis gives for this. Anything in particular that jumps out on you on this one?
Well, the speed at which we're connecting the world. He talked about 20 years ago, it was, dial-up, right? Even for the developed world,
Right.
You dial into AOL or something, and, slowly information would seep over the lines to you. Now, it's broadband everywhere in the world. And there's a lot of different programs. Google is working on a drone internet service. Facebook's got their huge drone that would just park itself powered by solar, right? Park itself up high and beam internet to parts of the world that might have difficulty getting internet otherwise. Satellite. What else, Phil?
Yeah, I there's a couple of these. A couple of these satellite ideas, drone ideas. Actually, there's three satellite ideas that he lists here, and two drone ideas. What was interesting to me about this is we talked about this. We did a whole show on this, a month and a half ago, and there were three of these ideas, and we thought we were covering the landscape. Diamandis throws two more of them in, right? There are a lot of people working on this stuff.
My personal favorite is Musk and his idea to put these little CubeSats up that covers the entire world in internet. 4,425 low Earth orbit satellites would do it. And
His is by far the most ambitious plan, but not surprising coming from the guy who plans to get people to Mars, right?
That's right.
It's an amazing picture. I mean, it's an amazing concept to read what it is that he's done. And I think, as we said when we talked about this before, it's very likely that we'll see more than one of these attempted, and that probably we'll see some of the drone stuff kind of as a precursor to the ultimate full-blown satellite system showing up eventually. But I bet we see it all. Sooner or later, when we are a fully interconnected world in a way that we can't even quite grasp right now, it'll be because there will be something like one of these plans in place, probably something far more sophisticated than even any of these ideas. But these are all gonna push us in that direction for sure.
Some mix of these ideas cover the world, and that's a good thing. I mean, put it this way. 100 years ago, Phil, there was just as many geniuses, I'm sure, in parts of the world that were completely unconnected as there are, in the developed world. I mean, that genius was probably spending his or her time just, in the struggle for daily existence, right? Now, everybody's connected. You can be a part of the world economy. In the Congo or any place in the world that, no matter how remote or poor historically it's been, you can plug in, and that's a good thing for humanity, for everybody. And especially a good thing for parts of the world that have historically struggled. And so,
absolutely, it's a lot more than everybody always being able to access each other's selfies.
This is a lot more than
for sure. This is a lot bigger than that. It truly is.
And has cheeseburger is important, but
there you go.
But there's other things too, and it's a very big deal.
Big stuff. Okay, what's the next one?
Solar renewables cheaper than coal. So.
Wow.
Diamantis is basically saying that, hey, we're reaching or have reached in some places the solar singularity. That's what Ray Kurzweil calls it, where solar is actually cheaper than things like coal. And that is a big, big deal, not just to get cheap power, which is important, but also, for the environment. And there was a real controversial thing that President Obama said before he entered office in 2008, talking about his plan would be to raise taxes on coal in order to phase it out. And that's sort of the stick approach, right, to getting that done. This carrot approach seems of, hey, we're not going to tax coal to make it less attractive to consumers, right? Or to the grid or whatever. We got something cheaper, and it's going to make power cheaper, but more readily available, and the environment gets better also. So we get the dream of the environmentalists along with the dream of the capitalists at the same time. We get more power and done more environmentally at the same time. So
three of these that just jump out at me along those lines. One is that coal plants are being replaced by solar farms, which is pretty astounding. And he gives examples of those. The UK is generating more energy from solar than coal. Who would have guessed, right? I mean, that's...
The UK, when I think of the UK, I don't think of a sunny place generally.
No, but I do think of a place that has produced a lot of coal over the years, right? I mean, that's coal country right there. And that really gets your attention. And this one, in India, solar is now cheaper than coal. Tying it back directly to what you were saying about taxes. Now, I'm assuming that those calculations are still done with, there's some subsidies probably in place for solar. But that is the market, right? Even if there are subsidies, that is the market doing what the taxes would have done, right? When it's cheaper to buy solar power than it is to buy coal, you don't have to put a tax on coal, right? Because the market has put a tax on coal, right?
There's this, right. And that situation is only going to get better, too.
Yeah.
We have every reason to believe that solar is going to continue to improve. Coal is all, you know, coal will not. Coal is what coal is, right? And so ultimately, we just won't, we won't use coal, ultimately. You know, if we got cheaper and better alternatives, we'll go to that primarily. So,
yeah, I think, you know, so. I think the future of coal is not an energy source. We, you know, we're, all those hydrocarbons are great for making plastic and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's
I mean, you know, they'll use coal probably to in steel plants and things like that in the future. But, you know, I agree with you. We'll find other ways to get our electric power.
And manufactured diamonds and carbon nanotubes, and you know, it's a great raw
stuff
material
like
for a lot of things, and luckily there's still a lot of it. But it's interesting that he compares it, you know, directly against coal, and it's really amazing to see the progress that's been made against coal. Maybe this time next year, Diamandis will be showing us that solar and renewables are cheaper than crude oil, right? Or maybe within a few years, it'll be interesting when that when he can make that case everywhere. But we got to keep moving. Jeez, we're only on three.
Yeah.
Number three, glimpsing the end of cancer and disease. This is a great list of stuff. You know, this is what's great about this is I look at these and I go, well, we hit that one. Never saw that one. We kind of talked about this one. This one's new to me. You know, I'm looking at these and we talk about how you can't keep up with the future. I mean, you literally can't, right?
Yeah.
Anything in this list, he gets to J on an alphabetical list of big, like, end of cancer, end of disease news stories from 2016. Any one of these, we could have done a whole show around. Am I right? I mean,
right.
You know, more likely we would have gathered two or three and done it on a Wednesday. But I don't know. It's hard to even know what to say. The giant leap in treatment in diabetes from Harvard. Did we talk about that? That one struck me as, like,
no.
I don't recall seeing anything on that. This is
No, never did. Never did. I would remember that one. And
yeah.
We have not hit that one. I mean,
how about HIV genes cut out of live animals using CRISPR? Did we talk about that?
No, we did not.
So, okay. Sorry we missed all this stuff, folks, but, you know, that's... We're
sorry we're so lame.
Yeah.
Because
no, really,
we did
talk about the sickle cell disease. You know, I mean, we talked about several of these. First human trial of CRISPR, right? I mean, that the U.S. government was going to be getting involved. But, I mean, we're not kidding when we say there's more of this going on than we can even keep up with. And
right.
It's
And that's encouraging. That fact alone is encouraging. I mean, if we who are doing our very best to be plugged in to deliver this stuff to you guys can't keep up with it, that just shows how this stuff is exploding. And you know, so what if two or three of these things, Phil, just completely don't pan out? You know, so what? I mean, the rest of it does. And
the other nine, you know, might kick in and do something for us, right? I mean,
that's right. Yeah. And we're living in a world without disease. So with no cancer, no diabetes, no heart disease. Awesome stuff.
The item number J on that one, World Health Organization has announced that it expects to fully eradicate polio worldwide by early 2017. I mean, we're there, right? I don't know how early in 2017 they're planning to make this happen, but let's say by March, polio's gone from the world. You know, even if they're being wildly optimistic there, that it's on the page, right? That it's on the plan, it's on the horizon. It's just amazing. And it's not a huge news story, right? It's something you and I missed, but it really ought to be a big news story. I mean, you know, that's like, oh, yeah, we just got rid of polio. That's all. Well,
I recall my father telling me about, you know, growing up in the time that he grew up and how people lived in fear of their children coming down with polio. I mean,
sure.
it was, you know, an awful, awful disease. And, there's things that, there's a particular, thing that would go swimming and this is out in the country. Okay. And they had like this swimming hole where it was spring fed and everything out where he grew up. And, His mother for a few years there, you know, no, and she had this idea for some reason that swimming in that swimming hole might lead to polio. Now, that's, obviously, that was more than likely very silly, but she didn't know, and they were living in fear of polio,
right?
And that was much of the world. So, great news there, right?
Absolutely, fantastic news.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
All right, progress on extending human life.
Kind of on the same lines here, really, huh?
Right.
I'm glad, though, to see these are two different categories.
That's right. And, to some extent, I think a lot of the people that are, pro-extending human life would like for aging to be considered a disease that needs to be conquered just like the others, right? But he does have it as a separate category. And,
yeah.
He lists several things, genetically reversing aging, I guess using some of the same tools that would be used in conquering disease. You could use CRISPR perhaps to re-engineer some things, but,
And we did talk about this one, right? I mean, this kind of genetically reversing aging in mice, right? That's what they're,
we talked about that one.
And it's on its own, if we don't talk about anything else on the page, should be one of the biggest news stories of the year, right? And we have talked about it, but it's hard to overstate the significance of it, really. One of the things that got my attention that I hadn't thought too much about, but I guess there's really been an explosion in funding for anti-aging startups. And if you want to know if something is going to make a dent, right? If you want to know if there's momentum behind something, like everything
follow
else
the
in
money.
The world, follow the money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, people are starting to put some money behind it. And swinging it back to the previous one, I don't think he even listed in terms of getting rid of disease, Mark Zuckerberg's plan to eliminate all human disease, right? So, I mean...
No, he did not. So he,
a billion-dollar project that didn't even make his list.
Even Diamandis missed that one in this very thorough article. What about C under life extension here? 25% life extension based on removal of senescent cells in mice. So they basically would flush the system of these mice of stagnant cells, right? And it would extend the lives of these mice by 25%. That's pretty cool. I really like
that one because it directly suggests a potential treatment, right?
Right.
And 25%, somebody looking down, their sixth decade like I am, right? It's like, okay, yeah, give me 25%. That could get us there, right? I'll take that. I mean, I'll take 10%.
Adding 25% to your life or mine, Phil, would perhaps bridge us to the next thing, right?
And exactly.
So,
yeah.
And so, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Also, if we had read about the 500-year-old shark, there would have been a show called that, right?
That sounds like a Friday show title for sure.
It does. That's too show. Good of a show. Not yeah. As if sharks aren't scary enough. Great, here's one that's 500 years old. I don't know. Just,
just 400 years later, you thought it was safe to go back to the water.
Yeah, that's right. It's still not safe.
Still not safe.
We're looking at a half a millennium aged shark here. He's a very dangerous dude.
That's right.
Okay, number five. We're almost halfway through. We got a blaze here. Amazing success with stem cells. This actually gives us more of what we've already talked about, but it's more specific, right? Because we're talking about growing new human eyes. Another one that I don't recall seeing, and a couple that we did: paralyzed victim gaining use of arms. Stroke victims walking again. Basically,
I think we may have the
blind are seeing, the lame are walking. It's something
awesome.
Almost biblical going on with stem cells here, isn't it?
It's wonderful, and I think we might have hit the eyes briefly, but I know we hit the other two stories last year. So anyway, we'll do our best to stay on top of it.
We're going to try. This isn't about us beating up on ourselves. It's just about us sharing.
Good stuff here.
This wonderful stuff from Peter Diamandis. Okay, move on. What else, Stephen?
All right. Year of the autonomous vehicles. We got Uber out there in Pittsburgh. Picking you up with no Uber driver to to you know, sit there and bore you with monotonous conversation, right? But and then the Uber self-driving trucks making deliveries of beer. That where's that happening?
Well, let's get this right. Okay, 50,000 beers. Okay, so
yeah, you know, that would have made
that's right up there with curing all disease. Okay, it's like wait. We got 50,000 beers and nobody even had to drive the truck. I mean, that's
right. You know, Smokey and the Bandit would have been a much more boring movie. It made with the self-driving
that's
truck.
That's great that your mind went to Smokey and the Bandit, because you know where I went? Strange Brew. I'm like, hey, Bob and Doug, they can be pounding them the whole time, right? And they still got their job delivering beer.
Yeah, they're not even, it's fine because they're not driving the truck. So.
Just so much good stuff here. Google plans ride-sharing service with Chrysler. I hadn't heard anything about that. You know, I think that's a good direction for Google. We've heard this, that they're not going to build their own car. They're going to be building the self-driving into other companies' cars. So good for Chrysler for scoring that, right? That's going to help them significantly.
See, you know, a natural partnership, it would seem to me, is Google and Tesla.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that, but I just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to hear something along those lines, right? So
yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
Okay, number seven, here come drones and flying cars. We know that Amazon Prime Air made its first delivery. That happened in the UK. We now have a drone in my house. I would add this. Peter didn't call and ask and find out about that, but my son got one for Christmas. So, I mean, this is how real drones are becoming. You know, I've got one now.
Yeah.
Me too.
We got one for Christmas also, Phil.
But, well, there you go.
Know, and I couldn't avoid it. It's there.
Really, really cool stuff happening here on the flying car front. I think it's interesting that he makes that connection, that that the ubiquity of drones may be the thing that gets us to the flying car future finally, right?
Right.
If nothing else is going to do it, maybe drones will do it. I don't know.
A largish quadcopter that could fold away its rotors at the end of the flight, and park in a normal parking space. You know, I mean, that's pretty cool. And it would be push button too. You just simply tell it, I want it to take me home or take me to work or, you know. Take me down to the market or whatever. It would do the flying for you, so you wouldn't have to.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the keys to the flying car. Is it needs to be a self-driving car. Otherwise, we all got to be pilots. And you need all the advanced electronic stabilization of a drone anyhow, right?
Because
flying helicopters is hard, right? It's harder than airplanes, is my understanding. You know, we don't want to be trying to, you know, do all that stuff. So we know automatically that you want all that, like, stabilization stuff built in. But let's also just add all the traffic control, right? Because we don't want drones bumping into each other up there. I think, I'm perfectly happy that when I get a self-driving drone, I mean, when I get my own flying car, that it be a self-driving drone. I'm perfectly content with that. I think I'll enjoy that. Also, I was amazed to see that 7-Eleven made 77 drone deliveries in 2016. So, you know, it was big news when Amazon did once. 7-Eleven's way ahead of the curve there, aren't they?
I think that in 2017, if we had a world transformed drinking game, I think drone would be one of the words to watch for. You know, I really do.
That's a good idea. Both the drone idea and the drinking game. I think we need to revisit both of those. Okay.
Because I think there's going to be a lot to talk about with drones all year this year.
I think you're right. Absolutely.
And that hasn't always been the case. I mean, two or three years ago, we didn't talk about drones on the show.
You know, I mean, they were kind of this up-and-coming thing, but they've really got the attention now, don't they? I mean, there's so much happening with them. And, I think we're at the very early stages of them becoming a part of our everyday life in ways we never would have thought 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. Let me throw out a quick scenario and make it quick because I know we're short on time. How about this? Self-driving cars and drones partner together. You know, you got that brown truck slowly moving through the neighborhood. You got drones, you know, humming, going back and forth between the delivery truck, which is self-driving and robotic, right? And the drones making being the delivery system for the last 100 feet. And then returning to the truck to recharge, connect to the next package, and then ride to the next delivery site. And you know, you got, so you could have three or four drones, you know, doing the walk up to the stoop, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the brown truck becomes the mothership, and rather than the delivery driver having to get out and do that whole thing, just dispatches a drone, right? And the drone drops the package off. I think that's right. Where we'll see actual point to point deliveries from drones, I'm telling you, it's going to be pizza delivery, right? That'll be the first true implementation of that. But you're right. I think for merchandise, it'll probably be more a mothership model like you just described.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there'd be a mothership van out there full of pizzas. Who knows?
You could have a pizza oven inside of a vehicle. I've seen that. People are smart.
They come up with lots of good stuff. Okay, number eight, the March of Artificial Intelligence. We've talked a lot about this, and for all we've talked about, there's just an awful lot going on, right? We talked about the Go Championship. I believe we talked about a novel being written. Let me just suggest that in 2017 and from now on, there will be no way to keep up with all the news stories about AI, because most of them won't even become news stories. It'll just be stuff that happens, and it'll become part of our everyday lives.
Just the list of things he talks about under the AI goes to letter J.
Yeah.
So just, you know, it's a bunch of stuff.
Spend some time on it, folks. We can't get into it. The deep learning computer chipset we did talk about, and you know, if you want to see news, it's going to be around some of that kind of high end stuff. But just the kind of increasing everyday AI in your life, that's just going to happen. It's going to keep happening. And AI saves woman's life. The thing is, we did talk about that one. Multiply that one by thousands and thousands, right? Because it probably happened more than just once last year, and it's going to happen a lot more in the years to come.
I think the AI is going to be the unsung hero in a lot of ways, because it's, you know, I mean, what doctor wants to give credit to the AI, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Or any professional, you know? I mean, I'm the brilliant attorney that came to the rescue, not the AI that delivered the research to me, right?
And the great thing is the AI never gets bitter that it didn't get the credit.
That's right. It just keeps doing the job. So
it'll keep producing the results. Absolutely.
Right.
All right. Number nine, physics and exploration. Big science discoveries. I like that Peter Diamandis lists the Earth-sized planet around Proxima Centauri. We did talk about that. And we've talked about, you know, just the discovery of planets generally. He also, Peter's a kindred spirit, huh? He's big on planets. He had this story about evidence found for Planet Nine. We talked about that one. And you know what? Did we spend much time talking about gravitational waves being confirmed?
Yeah, we did. We did, at least in one show.
Because I kept seeing it, and I knew we meant to talk about it, and I couldn't remember if we ever got to it.
We got to it. I remember specifically because one of the gravitational stations is here in Louisiana, and I got to plug that, right? So
there you go.
The other one, I think, is up in Washington State. You needed there to be a difference in the two in order to see a wave, right? And there had to be a crest in Washington State and a trough in Louisiana. And that's how they detected the wave. So anyway. It was cool.
Good stuff. And then finally, the conquest of commercial space. This is a subject area that I feel like we've treated fairly well. We've hit pretty well throughout the year. And still, Diamandis manages to hit us with some stuff that I wouldn't have guessed. Okay, I knew that several companies were talking about contracts to fly to the moon. I didn't know there were four. Right, that one caught my attention. And the Breakthrough Starshot project that targets interstellar travel. Did we talk about that?
No, we did not. You know, that's a small story. Going to the next star, you know, who cares?
In addition to everything else, you know, we're in the first stages of interstellar travel here, at least, you know, putting kind of a push prize together to make something like that happen. So basically, as big a story as you'll ever see, if we make it happen, if and when we make it happen. I would put this one today, in early 2017, the beginning of a interstellar push prize. I would put that at the level of self-driving cars 15 years ago. Right, we're hearing the very first thing about it, and let's see where we are in a few years. Right, I bet this one becomes a bigger and bigger subject.
I don't know that we'll see a payoff in 15 years.
No.
But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say the same timeline. I just meant it's the same kind of obscure thing that then suddenly becomes big. But you're right, it's more of a maybe 50 to 100 year time frame for that.
But hey, if we don't get started now, we'll regret it 50 or 100 years, right? So let's get on.
Awesome. Especially with this big presence we're gonna have on the moon. Okay, well that's it. We've gone too long. and we barely scratched through. Actually, we did better with this list than I thought we were going to, but we barely scratched the surface. Check it out. Follow the links from Blog Talk Radio or from worldtransform.com or Facebook, wherever you found us. Follow the links. Read this article. We're going to be talking more Peter Diamandis on Wednesday when we're going to be doing a show about what's coming next. So look forward to being with you all then. Stephen, great stuff. Enjoyed talking with you. And until next time, live to see it.